All right, Adam read a passage of scripture from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. My two favorite Bible characters are Joshua and Nehemiah. One of them built something, the wall at Jerusalem. The other one tore something down, the wall at Jericho. And I think if you're saved, if you're a Christian, you ought to be tearing some things down and building some things up. You ought to be tearing down the things in your life that shouldn't be there, like bad habits and bad attitudes and bad thinking. And you ought to be building up the things in your life that ought to be there, like kindness, gentleness, forgiveness. And today I want to talk about God's will for our life. It goes along with our theme, Above and Beyond. I recognize there's two groups of people here this morning. There's a group of people here that have never asked Jesus to be your Savior. And I'll just tell you flat out before I start that God's will for your life is to be saved. God's will for your life is to ask Jesus to save you and to forgive your sins and to take you to heaven. In fact, the land of Canaan that we read about in the book of Joshua is a picture of heaven. And God prepared the land of Canaan for his people, just like he prepared heaven for his people now. He made the way for them to go to the land of Canaan, just like he makes a way for us to go to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I realize I'm speaking to one group of people here today that need to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I also realize I'm speaking to people here today that already have accepted Christ. You're already on your way to heaven. You know for sure that you're saved. And when you die or when the rapture comes, you'll go to meet the Lord in the air and be with him forever. And I would say to you that God has a plan for your life. The plan for your life is to grow as a Christian. The plan for your life is to love God more. The plan for your life is to become more like Jesus Christ. And so every single person in this room this morning, God has a plan for your life, just like he had a plan for his people, the Israelites. His plan was for them to leave Egypt and go to this land of Canaan, the land that flowed with milk and honey. That plan was interrupted. You remember the story. They had come 40 years earlier to a place called Kadesh Barnea, and they were instructed to go into the land, and they decided to check it out first, and they sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan, and they went and spent 40 days checking out the land of Canaan. And the spies came back, two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "No problem, we can go in and we can take the land of Canaan. If God be for us, who can be against us? And we will have no problem." The other 10 spies came back and said, "Oh, we're going to have big problems." You know, and there's two groups of people like that in the church. There's a group of people that says, "Hey, if God be for us, we can do it." And the other group of people say, "Oh boy, we're in big trouble. I want to align myself over here. There ain't nothing that God can't do through his people if we'll let him." I mean, we'll always have people that doubt God, doubt God's power, doubt what God can do. But I want to line up with the group that says, "I have a God in heaven that can do anything. Nothing is impossible for him." And so the larger congregation of the Israelites agreed with the 10 spies. And they had a business meeting and they voted not to go in. Joshua and Caleb said, "Oh no, come on now. We can do it if God is with us." And the 10 spies won. And for 40 years, a year for every day, God said, "I'm going to make you wander in the wilderness. And everybody that's over 40 years old, I'm sorry, everybody that's over 20 years old is going to die. Everybody that's over 20 years old, except for Joshua and Caleb, are going to die before they go in to the promised land." So, 40 years has passed. Everybody over 20 has died. There's really only two people that are old that are left. They are over 20, and they're probably about 80 years old at this time, maybe 85. Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else are youngsters, relatively speaking. I guess the oldest would be 59 years old. You'd have, because if everybody over 20 died and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, you'd have 19 years old plus 40. So everybody's relatively young. 59 is relatively young, right? As I approach that age, I'm finding it's very young. But And so you had a group of people that were young, a group of people that had not experienced what God had done in a personal way, and they were coming to this point where God says, I want you to go over the river into the land. My will for you has been interrupted for these 40 years. Now it's time to get back on track. Now it's time to get back to where I want you to go. And I want you to go over the river, and I want you to possess the land that I have prepared for you. And God is saying that to every single person here this morning. If you're not saved, He's saying you need to go over and you need to ask Jesus to be your Savior. You need to come to that point where you realize that you're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin, and the only hope that you have is to receive Jesus Christ. And then He says to the second group of people, those of us that are saved, hey, look, I have a will for your life. Go on and get about it. Maybe there's been some things that have interrupted it, but it's time to cross over. It's time to go over. It's time to go above and beyond where you've been before, because you see, God's will for your life is to always keep moving higher. God never wants you to move backwards. He never wants you to go lower. He wants you to go higher. And He wants you to get to reach greater heights. We sang that song, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And that's what He wants for every Christian that are here. And so this morning, I speak to two groups of people, 3 points. Number one, go over in spite of the circumstances of your life. Go over in spite of the circumstances of your life. From a human standpoint, the circumstances in Joshua chapter 1, as the people were instructed to go over the river, they were in dire straits. I mean, just think about it. Moses, who led them for 40 years, was dead. The one who led them out of Egypt, the one that led them through the wilderness, the only leader that they had known was dead. I mean, here was a whippersnacker, a young man that was their leader that took over from Moses. And again, he maybe was 80, 85 years old. Yes, he'd been Moses' general. Yes, he'd been Moses' gopher as a young man. Gopher, Moses wanted anything, Joshua would go for it. And so he was a gopher. He was a general. He was a good man, but he wasn't Moses. I mean, the Bible says wonderful things about Moses, and Joshua wasn't Moses. Notice the circumstances that were going on in their lives when God told them to go over the river. Every family in the nation of Israel had buried a loved one or many loved ones over the past 40 years. I mean, all their grandpas and grandmas were gone. All their moms and dads were gone. The leadership in every family and the leadership in every tribe had changed. For the past 40 years, they'd had funeral after funeral after funeral. And from Joshua's perspective, again, here was a bunch of young, inexperienced people. They hadn't fought much, and yet God was telling them, go over and possess the land. It was still a land full of walls and giants and well-trained armies. And every person that existed in Joshua's day when God said, go over and possess it, had some circumstances in their life that made it hard. You have circumstances in your life today that make it hard to take the next step for God. Make it hard to go up higher. To make it hard to go ahead and go be up and above and beyond where you've been. Some of you have suffered the loss of loved ones. You're just getting by from day to day. You're still grieving over the loss of that loved one. And you would like to say, hey, I've already done for God everything I need to do. I just want to sit here and I just want to stay where I am. I don't want to do anything else. God doesn't want you to just sit and stay. God doesn't want you to be satisfied where you are. He wants you to go on. He wants you to go above and beyond where you are. Some of you are struggling financially. I mean, your 401ks are at rock bottom, and your savings have been exhausted as you try to live in this economy that we're in. I want to tell you, I have a God that owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I am not dependent on my savings account or my 401k to feed me. I am depending on my Father in heaven. Always have and always will, and He will take care of me. I want to tell you, you have circumstances. Maybe you have a relationship that's been broken or is in the process of being broken. You've lost a friend. You've lost a loved one. And not to death, but your relationship somehow has been broken. And you'd like to say, I can't do anything else for God. I can't go any higher. I can't step above and beyond where I am. Listen, you're not any different than the nation of Israel. Yes, you have some circumstances in your life that make it hard, but you also have a God that can help you get through those circumstances and say, go ahead, take the next step, climb up a little bit higher. Get a little bit closer to me. And Joshua said, let's cross over. Let's go over. Let's go ahead and do it because we have a God that's going to go with us. So regardless, and by the way, there's people here today that are lost on their way to hell. And here's what you're saying. Oh, preacher, you don't know my life. I am such a wicked sinner that God could in no possibility love me. Only He and I know what I have done. And the circumstances of my sin and the circumstances of my life have disqualified me from heaven. And I say to you this morning, no, 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 no. We have a God that wants everybody to be saved. We have a God that wants everybody to go to heaven. That's why the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are no qualifications in that verse. That's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I have never met a sinner so wicked, so bad, that Jesus can't save. Not one. Not one. His blood is sufficient to cover every single sin. And so, don't blame the inability of God to save you this morning for not getting saved. I have a God that can save the blackest, most wicked sinner. And by the way, I was one of them. I said, preacher, I thought you grew up in church all your life. I did. I thought your mom and dad were Christians. They were. I thought you never drank or smoked. I didn't. I was still one of the most wicked sinners that ever was. And the blood of Jesus Christ saved me. And it can save you. So go over. Don't worry about your circumstances. Go over. Go over. Number two, go over in His promises. God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I promised Moses to show my power to Pharaoh, and we did it. Those 10 plagues from the flies and the lice and the darkness and the locusts and the death of the firstborn, we showed my power to Pharaoh. I promised Moses that you would come out of Egypt rich, and you did. We spoiled the land of Egypt as we left. I promised Moses bread from heaven, and I sent manna every day for 40 years. I promised Moses meat, and I sent quail every day. I promised Moses leadership, and I sent a cloud by day and a fire by night to show you which way to go. I promised Moses protection, and I delivered you from every evil and every pestilence and everything that was in the wilderness. And just like I was with him, and just like I kept the promises I made to him, I will be with you, and I will keep my promises to you. We read about several of them in the 9 verses that we read from Joshua chapter 1. Verse 2, God said, come into this land, which I do give to thee. I will give you this land. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon have I given unto you. Verse 4, all the land shall be your coast. Verse 5, not any man nor any man will be able to stand before you. I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Verse 9, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We have a God that makes the same promises to us today. We have a God that promised us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad God didn't say I had to do something to get saved other than come and take the gift of salvation that He freely offers to every single person. I don't have to be good enough to get saved. I don't have to turn over a new leaf to get saved. I don't have to join the church to get saved. I don't have to get baptized to get saved. Some of those things, all of them are pretty good things. But I don't have to do any of those things to get saved. I just got to come to Jesus Christ. That's the promise that he's put in this book. And my God never breaks a promise. He'll keep every one that he makes. And if you'll come to Jesus this morning, he will save you. So go over in his promises. And then to all the Christians that are here, go over in his promises. Get up higher. Climb up higher. Go above and beyond where you've been in his promises. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and the Holy Spirit will help you defeat Satan at every turn. Who wants to keep you lower? Who wants you to go back, to slide back? Who wants you to get further away from God than you are today? Not God in heaven, but the Satan and the devil of this world. That's who wants you to move back. That's who wants you to go lower. That's who doesn't want you to go above and beyond. I'll tell you what. I wouldn't go backwards because I hate Satan. I mean, if it wasn't right, I'd do it just to spit in Satan's face. He ain't going to keep me from going higher. He ain't going to keep me from getting closer to God. I want to go up higher. I want to keep climbing upward. I want to go above and beyond where I've been. I want God to show me things. The Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for his children. And I know a lot of people think that verse applies to heaven, and I'm sure it does. But I want to tell you something. It applies to our days that are left down here too. God has blessings in store for us. All he is looking for is an obedient people that will keep moving onward and upward, that will trust him to cross over, to go above and beyond where they've been, to reach new heights, to reach out to new people, to do things that they've never done before. That's what God wants. And eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for a people that will do that. So go over in spite of circumstances. Go over in his promises. Number three, cross over. Go over in his word. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When God spoke these words to Joshua, there was only five books of the Bible that existed. The Torah, the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the only five books of the 66 books that we have 66 today. Joshua only had five. And what God was telling Joshua, you stay in the first five books, the only books of the Bible you have. You walk in them. You keep the commandments from them. You live in the principles that are in them. And I will bless your life. I'll bless your life. I'll give you a good success. I want to say to that group of people that are here today that don't know Jesus, you can't get saved apart from this book. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You won't find any other book in the world that'll tell you how to get saved. Only this book. Say, preacher, I have other books. Yeah, but they copied out of this book. Only this book. This book tells us that we're sinners. This book tells us that there's a penalty for sin. This book tells us that Jesus paid that penalty for us. This book tells us that if we'll come and ask him, he'll save us. You won't cross over. You won't go over into salvation apart from this book. Apart from this book. And we will not go above and beyond. We will not go higher. We will not go further apart from this book. Joshua stayed in this book, and at the end of Joshua's life, as recorded in Joshua chapter 24, verse 31, the Bible says, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." Joshua stayed in the books of the Bible that he had, and God blessed him. And if we want God's blessing, if we as individuals want to go above and beyond, if we as a church want to go above and beyond, if we want God to do greater and more blessed things for us, we have to stay in this book. The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. belly. So what's your circumstance this morning? Why let that circumstance stop you from moving ahead? Why let that circumstance rob you of heaven? Why let that circumstance drive you backwards? You and God are a majority. There's nothing in this world that can stop you. Cross over, go over in spite of circumstance. Claim the promises of God. There's thousands of them in this book. Claim them. Cross over. Cross over. You're here today and you're not saved. Just a moment, we're going to have a song of invitation. I'm going to invite you to come. Say, preacher, I don't understand it all together. Well, God never said you had to understand it all together. You said you had to understand you're a sinner. You come in just a moment. I'll have somebody take the Bible and help you understand that you're a sinner. I'll have them show you in the Bible where there's a penalty for that sin. I'll have them show you in the Bible that Jesus died for you in your place to pay your penalty. And I'll have them show you from the Bible that if you'll ask him, he'll save you. If you're here today and you're saved, and you're on your way to heaven, praise God. Not a better thing to know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Where are you in your Christian walk? Are you in a rut? Some of you might be saying, well, preacher, I'm just satisfied right where I am. I just like to stay right where I am. You listen to me. That's not God's will for your life. He didn't want you to stay right where you are. He wants you to keep moving forward. He has greater things planned for you. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and say, Father, I'm tired of standing still. I want to get back on track. I want to keep moving forward. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the example that you've given us in the life of Joshua and the Israelites. I pray that we'd learn from their lesson this morning. I pray that we would just keep moving forward, that we would know that regardless of the circumstance in our life, you're with us. And regardless of how Satan tries to beat us down and stop us, you're with us. And if we just keep moving, you take care of all the giants, you take care of the big walls, you take care of every obstacle that this world puts in our place. Father, I pray especially for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ. They're apart from you. They're still in their sin. They've ignored your Son that went to the cross, paid the price. And I pray this morning that they could see that blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and that they would come this morning and let us take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Use it to your honor and your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.